Thank you very much for singing that song. It's always amazing how songs take you back to certain places. And the minister of music and his wife would sing that song on a pretty regular basis at Sterling. And so when I hear that song, I immediately go back to growing up and hearing them sharing that song with us. So a very special song to my heart for sure. Go ahead and turn to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. And as we get started this morning, if you find your way there, I do want to extend a special welcome to all of our guests here for this bridal shower that we're going to be enjoying here in not too long. And just so you know, we are in week 6 of a 7-week series where we are going through our mission statement as a church. So it might be a little bit odd jumping into a conversation that's been going on for the last month or so, but I think it'll be okay. Knowing that we might have a good number of visitors here for the bridal shower for Olivia and Bob, I was quite tempted to take this week off from our mission statement series so I could focus on the wise words of the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 8. Now to the unmarried and widows, I say, it is good for you to remain unmarried as I am. But I thought there might be some complications with that, so I steered clear of that. We're going to stick with our mission statement series this morning. And so instead of doing that, go ahead and turn to Luke chapter 19 and go ahead and stand with me as we read this morning. Luke chapter 19, I'm going to begin in verse 11. While they were listening to this, he went on to tell them a parable. Because he was near Jerusalem and the people thought that the kingdom of God was going to appear at once, he said, a man of noble birth went to a distant country to have himself appointed king and then to return. So he called 10 of his servants and gave them 10 minas. Put this money to work, he said, until I come back. But his subjects hated him and sent a delegation after him to say, we don't want this man to be our king. He was made king, however, and returned home. Then he sent for the servants to whom he had given the money in order to find out what they had gained with it. The first one came and said, sir, your mina has earned 10 more. Well done, my good servant, his master replied. Because you have been trustworthy in a small matter, take charge of 10 cities. The second came and said, sir, your mina has earned 5 more. His master answered, you take charge of 5 cities. Then another servant came and said, sir, here is your mina. I have kept it laid away in a piece of cloth. I was afraid of you because you are a hard man. You take what you did not put in, and you reap what you did not sow. The word of the Lord this morning. Go ahead and have a seat. So that everyone's on the same page as far as what we have been doing over this mission statement series, our focus over the past month has been on 3 identities, and each of those 3 core identities pertain to the body of Christ, and with them are 3 core activities that correspond with them. A person's identity has an impact on a person's activity in such a way that what you do has everything to do with who you are. And so the guiding question and the formation of our mission statement was simply this: who are we? If we as a church can figure out and answer the question, who are we, then figuring out the sorts of things that we need to be doing as a body of Christ in this world becomes a much easier question to answer. Our first identity, which we talked about in weeks 1 and 2, is that we are beloved children of God the Father. Knowing God the Father has ramifications for his children. Children who are the recipients of the Father's blessings as we live underneath the authority of the Father, because our Father is in charge, our Father knows best, and our Father loves us deeply. Our second identity, which we talked about in weeks 3 and 4 of this series, is that we are called to be followers of Jesus, the Son of God. Being a child of God is a universal identity that is shared by every man, woman, and child, but being a follower of Christ is a universal calling. As Jesus calls out, follow me. Those who respond to the call of Jesus grow more and more in the likeness of Jesus as they live and love as Christ lived and loved. And finally, last week, we started our look at the identity of an ambassador. An ambassador being a person who, by the work of the Spirit, is inwardly compelled to proclaim the message of reconciliation. God has committed that message to those inwardly compelled people, and God has commissioned those inwardly compelled people to share that message. But the question for this week is, what does that life look like? In as practical of a way as possible, what does the life of an ambassador look like when they fully embrace being on a mission from God?
We're on a mission from God. got to understand that this is a lot bigger than any domestic problems you might be experiencing.
Would it make you feel any better if you knew that what we're asking Matthew to do is a holy thing?
You see, we're on a mission from God.
First you trade the Cadillac for a microphone. Then you lie to me about the band. Now you're going to put me right back in the joint.
They're not going to catch us. We're on a mission from God. It's 106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses.
Hit it.
Some mysterious ways.
Yeah.
Now that I live a lot closer to Chicago than I have the rest of my life, I feel like it's you have to fit Blues Brothers in there somewhere. When it comes to describing the life of an ambassador of Christ, when it comes to being on a mission from God, in light of what I have read in Scripture, I think it is safe to assume that it's not a life characterized by a full tank of gas, a half a pack of cigarettes, sunglasses in the dark, and evading capture by the police. That might be an adventurous situation to be in, but it's not something that I see depicted as the life of an ambassador. So what does depict the life of someone who has been embraced the identity of being an ambassador? Ambassadors utilize their gifts. As I mentioned last week, the job title of an ambassador of Christ isn't an ambiguous type of job title. What comes to mind when we think of an international ambassador provides a very good foundation for figuring out the sorts of things that an ambassador of Christ ought to be doing. When it comes to the international relationships of our country or any other country, the role of strategically placed diplomats is significant. When a country is trying to decide who should serve as a diplomat to a specific country, if that sending country has any sense at all, it's going to send somebody into that country who already has a clue about that culture and about the language in the country they're going to. If you send a diplomat who already has a grasp of the language and the culture of the country they're going to, they can actually arrive there, hit the ground running. A diplomat who does not know the language or have any understanding of the culture of that country, they're going to find themselves working in a situation that's going to be unproductive and slow. And if they're not careful, they may actually end up in a situation where they end up in a lot more trouble because all kinds of misunderstandings can happen when you minister in a country where you don't know the language and there's language miscommunication issues that happen. For that reason, a country that places a high value on its diplomatic relationships is going to have a diverse group of diplomats with a diverse group of skills and then proceed to place those diplomats in places where they can be successful in the larger mission of the country they represent. That same situation holds true for an ambassador of Christ. The life of an ambassador of Christ may look very different based on the place where that ambassador of Christ is sent. And when it comes to God sending out ambassadors, God is not going to send somebody to a place that will not benefit from the gifts and abilities that particular ambassador brings to the table. When God calls someone to go and be his ambassador to a specific place or to a specific group of people, it is because God knows exactly what he's doing. God knows full well the wide range of situations where you can be effective as an ambassador of Christ. Your interests and your involvements place you in the proximity of people who are not, at this moment, citizens of God's kingdom. People who do not know their identity as beloved children of God the Father and who are instead living in a far-off land. The intersection of your life with theirs is an intersection that God is going to use for the advancement of his kingdom. As it says in 2 Corinthians, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors as though God were making his appeal through us. Your relationship with others, in particular with outsiders, is a diplomatic relationship. There is an appeal that happens through you and through your life. There is an appeal of God that capitalizes on you being who God created you to be. And you being who God created you to be puts you in contact with people and places and situations where I would be a horrible diplomat. I tend to think that I'm a pretty creative person when it comes to the ability to connect with people from all different kinds of backgrounds. But despite that, my creativity still has a lot of limits. I can stop by this church on a Monday night when a bunch of ladies are downstairs gathered around the tables, crocheting and knitting and doing things like that. And I can come in and stop in for a little bit and make a few jokes and get a few laughs or a few eye rolls or whatever you want when I stop by. But when their actions, when they turn to doing the kinds of actions and maneuvers for knitting and crocheting, and they're talking about what they're doing, it can very much seem like they're speaking in tongues and I'm in need of an interpreter. The shared interests and the shared skills of those who gather together makes that space an intersection that requires very specific kinds of diplomats. A kind of diplomat or a kind of an ambassador very different than myself. On this past Thursday night, as a group of people gathered together and actually these first few rows to pray prayers for everything from a national, everything from the national level to a local level to a personal level, my prayer request to them was that each and every time they go by the local recreation center, they would say a prayer for the ambassadors present in that Crestwood Recreation Center. I asked them to do that because I'm one of those ambassadors. I'm one of those people, and I sure hope there are others that are a part of that that facility, because that community, that place is filled with all kinds of residents from this community and neighboring communities, people who are residents of those communities, but not residents of God's kingdom. My prayer is for that place to be so much more than a place where I play basketball and continue the physical abuse on my knees. Sometimes you notice I'll be stretching my knees all the time, especially if I played a couple times that week. My prayer is for my conversations there to be so much more about how amazing I am at shooting the ball and how horrible I am at jumping, which I'm very good at shooting, very bad at jumping. I'm probably better at shooting because I'm really bad at jumping. I have to get some creative shots up. Once again, because of the aging knees issue. When I am there, I am not an off-duty ambassador. If you begin to hear whispers in this community about some guy called Pastor Scoop, you will know that they're talking about me. And so when it comes to what the life of an ambassador of Christ looks like, it looks like a beloved child of the Father and a follower of Jesus the Son who is utilizing their particular gifts and abilities to connect with people in the places where they are sent. Ambassadors share their story. When it comes to being an ambassador, those relationships and those intersections, wherever it is that those things happen, that mission space becomes a place where an ambassador shares their story. Looking back at the parable of the 10 minas, which we started off with at the beginning of this message, each of those servants are given the same thing to start out. They are all entrusted or committed with the responsibility of a singular mina, and at some point, all of them, or almost all of them, dispersed to do something with that mina that they were given. Who they were and what they did and where they were sent, in collaboration with that mina, resulted in a return on the master's investment. The master had invested in them, and the servants turned around and invested in something in some way, and that investment multiplied. Something happened that was possible in the hands of those servants that wasn't possible and didn't happen when the mina was stored away in a piece of cloth. Something about those servants, something about the living and breathing medium of people going out and actively living their lives, something about that worked in collaboration with that mina in a manner that was productive. When it comes to having an identity as an ambassador who is living out the life of an ambassador, I believe that the thing that works in collaboration with the things that God has entrusted to us is the life story that we share. Your story becomes the medium through which the message of God is delivered to a lost world. There is something special that happens when your story and God's message come together. Going back to my connection at the local recreation center here in Crestwood, even further back to my days at Riverside Fitness Center, moved up here from Bourbonnais almost a year ago, actually. It has been my observation over the last 4 years of being a part of fitness centers that there are a whole host of people who do not want to be bothered in the least bit while they do their workouts. They come in, they put in their earbuds, they tune out the rest of the world, they put in their I'm in the zone, don't bother me kind of look as they're getting into whatever music it is they're listening to, and they get started in their particular planned routine. They have a set list of objectives that they're trying to accomplish and a set time to do it, and they don't want to be bothered by anyone. They may be in the same place as other people, and they may be doing the same things as other people around them, but their activity is not going to lead to any kind of a kingdom reward, because a kingdom reward needs a kingdom investment. Kingdom possibilities at the rec center will not become kingdom actualities without there being some form of a kingdom investment, the kind of investment that happens when you deposit or invest your story in the lives of people you cross paths with. It is quite possible that I could go play basketball every night of the week, all year long, and continue that abuse on my knees and see zero kingdom reward because of a failure to make a kingdom investment of my story in the lives of the people I play basketball with. Your story, and in particular, the impact of God's kingdom on your story, is the thing that connects where you are with where you are from. Remembering, an ambassador is someone who is sent from somewhere else as a representative of the place they call home. The citizenship of an ambassador is in another kingdom. If the kingdom does not bear marks on your story, then your mere presence in a mission area will not bear fruit for that kingdom. The interjection and investment of your story at the place where your life intersects with others is the thing that can lead to a return on a kingdom investment. So how does the kingdom bear marks on your story? The kingdom bears marks on your story when your story gets filtered through the lens of God's activity revealed in Scripture. Scripture which speaks to the redeeming, the restoring, and the releasing of God. When you are able to see the activities of God in Scripture present in the activities of your life, you have a kingdom story to share. An ambassador who knows how to articulate God's activity in their redemption, at one point or another, the realization that God has invited you to be a part of his family as a beloved child became true in your own heart and life. There was a time when you knew you were God's child, and there was a time when you did not. There was a time when you embraced an identity as God's beloved child, and perhaps there was a time where you ran far away from it. God's activity when it comes to the invitation into God's family is a part of every ambassador's story. An ambassador also knows how to articulate the story of restoration. The changes that have happened since entering into God's family as they have been shaped into the image of Christ. The maker of all things is also in the business of making all things new, and an ambassador can speak to the new things that have been going on in their lives, to emotional wounds that have been healed, to interpersonal relationships that have been reconciled, to challenges that have been overcome, to a heart with new desires, and to a heart that has a new capacity to love their Lord, the Lord their God, with all their heart, soul, strength, and mind, as well as loving their neighbor as themselves. An ambassador also knows how to articulate the activity of God in their release. All of those things that God has done in their lives, in their redemption and in their restoration, and the message of reconciliation that God has committed to them is the reason for the life that they are living and the story that they are sharing. An ambassador shares the story of God's activity in their lives. And then the last part, ambassadors give God the glory. What does the life of an ambassador look like? An ambassador utilizes their gifts. An ambassador shares their story. And lastly, an ambassador gives God the glory. Deep in the heart of an ambassador has to be the desire for their lives to give glory to God and also for God to be glorified in the midst of the world he created. The prodding of a pastor cannot be the driving force for establishing new relationships and being actively engaged in the ministry of reconciliation that God has entrusted to the body of Christ. I won't be accepting any kind of awards for anything that is accomplished in our midst as a body of Christ. The response from my lips when it comes to the lives you live will be, praise God for what God has done in your life. Praise God for what he has done, praise God for what he is doing, and will do as we embrace the vocation as being ambassadors of Christ. And I don't know about you, but I want God to be glorified in the life that I live. I want it to be abundantly clear to those in proximity of my life that what God has done, that God has done some amazing things on the inside that cannot be contained. Things on the inside that spill out into my conversations. Things on the inside that impact my actions on the outside. Ambassadors are sent out into the world to make sure that God's message of reconciliation is heard loud and clear so that God and God alone gets the glory. We're going to be closing this morning. If you go ahead and turn in your hymnal to 698, I think we might have the words on the screen too. We've got a story to tell to the nations. And so go ahead and stand. We're going to sing that as we close.